1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just allowing us to read the scriptures together. What a blessing to just hear these wonderful truths. Lord, there's so much depth in this chapter, so much for us to be changed by if we would, so much for us to discern. And Lord, also we pray that you would help us to discover in each of our individual Christian lives this wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, help us to access it, to use it, to understand its purpose. And Lord, as we lay the groundwork tonight, I pray that you would help me through the scriptures to emphasize the importance of agape love in our day in, day out Christian life. We pray, please, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. At the end of chapter 13, and chapter 12, we pointed out that Paul was educating the church a little bit. He was preparing them for the idea that the apostolic gifts were going to be phased out. He is appealing to a carnal church and telling them and focusing them on the fact that there's going to be three main things that will allow them to carry on once these apostolic gifts are gone, to be able to carry out the work of God, both in the church and also the evangelistic efforts of the church. He mentions in verse number 31 that they should covet earnestly the best gifts. So although some of the apostolic gifts will go by the wayside, the best spiritual gifts will remain. So the church will have access to the best spiritual gifts, and we're going to tell you and talk about those things as we get on into the book. The second thing that he's going to teach them in chapter 13 that they'll also have that will replace the apostolic gifts is a complete canon of Scripture. I hope you really heard what I said at the end of last week. You know, a lot of times we think we're going to get to heaven and rush over to Peter and Paul and say, wow, what was it like to minister and have at your disposal those apostolic gifts? Because they had some wow factor to them. They what I say, were kind of like stage gifts or show gifts. And I think that honestly their answer will be, are you kidding me? What in the world was it like to be able to minister with the complete canon of Scripture? What was it like to be able to retain along with that the very best gifts? And I don't think it's us that ought to envy them. It's them that I think will be envying us of us. And so the best spiritual gifts, thank God, folks, we have the completed Word of God right here in our hand. And that's going to be emphasized. The importance of it's going to be emphasized. And then the third thing that Paul's going to try to get them to see, and he's going to try to grow them up here. Notice he says in chapter 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. He could have also added, when I was a child, I loved as a child. Because this is what he's really trying to fix in this chapter. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The third, and I think maybe the most important of the tools as far as in our engaging and working with people, is that he was going to give us access to agape love, to agape love. Now, I'm going to just spend this week, probably next week, and maybe even the week after, talking about this precious, precious gift that's available to us. Now, folks, if we access the spiritual gifts, the best spiritual gifts, the gifts that remain, along with the power of the Word of God, the canon of Scripture, and our command to share the Bible and preach the Bible and teach the Bible and proclaim the Bible, and along with those things, we baptize everything we do in agape love, then something happens that is very powerful. And I want to just try to see if I can challenge you in this area. See, these three things are given to by God to us to be used in two ways. They're to be used in the church to edify the church, the best spiritual gifts used in the church to edify the church, the canon of Scripture in the church to edify the church, agape love in the church to edify the church. But these three things are also given to be used by the church to reach the world. So it's used in the church to edify the church, but by the church to reach the world. Our spiritual gifts, the best spiritual gifts, are used in evangelism. The complete canon of Scripture is used to help us in evangelism. And of course, an access to agape love, something the world will never experience and never see outside of a people that's been reborn by the Spirit of God. This type of love that's like nothing that they can manufacture or come up with or dream of or experience. This is what will draw them to listen. This is what will cause them to pause. Because deep within the heart of every man there is a longing. There's something that they are looking for that the world cannot provide. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time tonight doing two things. First of all, I want to try to spend the first part of the night just getting us to understand the difference between mortal love and immortal love. Mortal love, temporal love, earthly love, and divine love. And then I want to just give you a little list of things I'm going to give you here that I believe that will hopefully motivate you and make you to understand the importance of agape love in our Christian life. There's two words, mostly, for the most part, there's two words in the Bible that are defined love in the New Testament. Phileo is the one word, and agape is the other Greek word. And most of you know this, but not all of you do, so stay with me. Phileo love is a love that means an affection. Phileo love is a shared love or a love between friends. Affection as a result of a personal attachment. Affection that's developed because of shared interest. Affection because of reciprocated affection. And let me say this. It is in essence, don't miss this. It is in essence a self-love. A self-love. Because the result is self-serving. All mortals are capable of this. I love you because of the enjoyment I receive as a result of our relationship. Did you get that? I love you as a result. I love you because of the enjoyment I receive as a result of our relationship. That's the kind of love that the world, the kind of affection that the world has. Problem is that this love often fails, since it is reliant upon the participation of the other. It can wane or it can wander. It can begin, but it can also end. And so phileo love is an affection. If you look over the course of your life, you may have developed an affection for somebody, and for a time that was there, and now the honest truth is that affection is no longer there. That's because it was a phileo affection. You may have an affection for something, and for a while it enamored you, but you know what? It ran its course, and now there's really not much interest. It's because it was a phileo love. It was something that interested you and something that you got something out of for a while, but when you got all that you could get out of it, you went to look for something else. Now, an agape love is from God. Man cannot manufacture it. Man cannot buy it or create it or secure it or hoard it or destroy it. We can simply, watch this, we can simply channel it. But by doing so, we're touched by it and transformed by it. Agape love is the love of Almighty God. It's the love of God lent to us to disperse upon others. So it's a divine love that God gives us, not to hoard or not to keep, but He gives us to disperse upon others. It is amazing. It's undefinable. But as we're going to see next week when we go through its attributes, it's also very easily recognizable. You may not be able to define it, but you can recognize it. This agape love is not reliant upon the other person. It's based upon the character of the giver. It requires no reciprocation. This kind of love is a decision. I love you. Regardless, forever, as God has chosen to love me, I love you. Period. Not because of what you are, because of what I am, but because of who God is and because of what He allows. I love you. That's the end of the story. It's an agape love. This kind of thing is not something we fall in of and fall out of and aggressively pursue and then with disdain turn our back upon. This is the love of Almighty God. Now, only Christians can give agape love. Don't miss this. Only young people, you better listen to what your preacher's saying right here. You go ahead and go out in the world and chase down some lost boy or some lost girl. You may, as a saved person, be able to give that person agape love, but you know what? They'll never be able to give you agape love because this is a God love. Only Christians can give agape love. Phileo love comes from the soul, the mind, and the emotions, but agape love flows from a reborn and surrendered spirit. A man imparting to another agape love is man at his very best. Let me say this again. A man imparting to another agape love is man at his very best. Now, what Paul's trying to do here is trying to grow up these carnal Christians. You know what? You love as long as you are loved. You're still operating on a carnal plane here. You are infatuated and then you fall out of it, and next thing you know, you're infatuated with this and then you fall out of it. You're exercising elementary level Christian love. It's time to discover the love of God. Now, why is this important for the church? Why is it important in the church? Why is it important as we seek to go out and evangelize the world? Watch this. Folks, agape love has supernatural impact. Supernatural impact. Because it is a divine love, it delivers a divine touch, a divine message when it is used. It reminds a human being, one of the created ones, that there is a creator. It awakens in that lost person an awareness of the invisible God. It stirs a longing to find something that I've lost, something that I've lost. It paves the way for conviction and conversion. Agape love is the forerunner of evangelism and the forerunner of discipleship. It's the John the Baptist of Christian growth and complete surrender. Folks, if agape love is not a part of our evangelistic efforts, I'm going to tell you something. Not much probably is happening that's going to have any internal impact. If agape love is not what is ruling in the assembly, then our discipleship process is going to be constantly hindered, constantly hindered, constantly battered down. The honest truth is, folks, the world and the saved will come to a place where there is this divine love. They'll come. They'll ride your bus, Captain, if there's agape love. The parents will notice that there's something different if there's agape love. Sunday school teachers, you won't be able to keep them out of your class. Boy, this is a good time for us all to just take inventory here. What kind of atmosphere reigned on your bus this weekend? What kind of atmosphere reigned in your Sunday school class? What kind of atmosphere reigned in the children's churches? What kind of atmosphere reigned here in the assembly this past Sunday morning? Several of you went out and said, "Brother Jerry, what a good message on hell. I needed to hear that." Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. But let me say this. If it was not baptized in agape love, it was sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You not get this? I don't care how good of a Sunday school lesson, how many illustrations, how well prepared you were, outside of agape love and a baptism of agape love, you know, it's meaningless. I can help you right now. I can transform your soul winning efforts. If you are just out there mechanically going from door to door, muttering out a memorized line, and you know what? You're putting your time in because afterwards we get to go to Burger King or do something else, and you are not, along with the Word of God, delivering it in love. I'm talking about in a God love. Those people know it. You can't fake it. People know whether or not when you're talking to them at the door, you really care about them, or whether you're just putting in time. I've got to witness to somebody. I've got to do this for so long, and I'll just mechanically go through it, and then when it's done, and I'll brush my hands off and go to the next thing. There's just something powerful about this. I remember as a young Bible college student, I got into the bus ministry up in the church there and in the church college ministries. And for a while I was a bus worker, and then they wanted to make me a bus captain. So I was moved over to Division 8. Daryl Moore was my division leader, and I became a new bus captain. They were actually taking a bus route that was already there. They were adding some more area to it. And they were going to make me a bus, kind of redoing the boundaries, and going to make me a bus captain of this bus route. Well, one of the streets, well, I want you to listen to this. One of the streets that I was going to have added to my route at one time for several years, Daryl Moore had been the bus captain of that street. His route was right next to mine. And so his areas were being adjusted over my area was being adjusted over, and I was going to take four blocks of Holman Street between 22nd Street and 26th Street. And so he met me on that first day I was the bus captain. He said, "What I'd like to do the first day that I'm here with you is," he said, "since you're going to be taking over this street, let's start there. And I want to just take you down, and I want to introduce you to everybody on that four blocks that's ever ridden my bus, and make sure you take notes and get their names down, because I want to make sure we pass them off to you and we don't miss anybody." And so I said, "Okay, that's fine." And here I am, a 19, 20-year-old young man, and I go with Brother Daryl Moore, and he begins to go down this street. But understand, he's not just introducing me to these people. He's saying goodbye to them and telling them that I'm going to be their bus captain. We went down that street four blocks, and it took us about 3 hours. We stopped at probably 15, 20 different homes. I watched that man get on his knees in front of little children and tell them how much he loved them. I watched him introduce them to me. I watched him talk to the parents and interact with the parents. House after house after house, I watched that man walk away with tears coming down his face. It was probably the most life-changing 3 hours I had ever spent up to that time in my life. When we got to the very end of it, he turned it around. He used to call me Doc. He hit me in the shoulder and said, "Take care of those people, Doc." And turned around and walked away with tears running down his face. I watched him go and disappear around the corner, and I found a little stairwell there. Went down to a vacant apartment. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm not even sure I really know what I just saw. But all I know is whatever that man has, I don't have it. And God, I've got to know what it is to love people like that. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Please listen to what I'm going to say here. Be very careful what you pray for. Some things sound good. Some things seem desirable. But if you're ever in your life going to understand what we're going to talk about in detail next week, I promise you there's going to have to be some breaking and some remaking in every single life. Because this is not play toy stuff. This isn't something that a carnal Christian can just kind of flip on when they want to and flip off when they don't need it. This requires something to happen inside of you that up to this point has not happened. But I will say this. I would go back and pray that prayer in a heartbeat. Because in answer to that prayer, and as a result of what God did in my life in seeking and refuting, you talk about wrestling with God. You talk about some, hey, it's time for some of you to get a hold of the angel and refuse to let, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. I am not what I need to be in order to help people. I am not what I need to be in order to win people. I am not what I need to be in order to make an eternal impact in the average person's life. Something has to happen divine. Something has to happen that's unexplainable. Something has to be broken and remade. And that is when you begin to discover something called agape love. Now, let me try to sell you on the importance of it. Preacher, you know what? If I just have a phileo love and go through this life and try to do the best I can and help where I can help and volunteer where I can volunteer and play at this thing, what's the real price tag? How important? Here's the question. How important is agape love? Well, if I took you to all the references, we'd never get through it. So I'm going to read a lot of the verses and just give me a heart's hearing. And patiently and on purpose listen to what I'm going to say. The importance of agape love. Let me say this first of all. Agape love is the first fruit of the Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's number one. So number one, understand that this is a fruit of the Spirit. This is not something that you can manufacture, make up, or that you can manufacture in your own power. It comes from the Spirit of God. It's not going to be realized unless there is a filling of the Spirit of God in your life. Unless you're willing to seek the fullness of the Spirit. Unless you're willing to really empty yourself of self and sin. I mean, become empty of self and sin. And then at that point in time when you get hungry, and you know, first here's what's going to happen. Brother Jerry's right. I'm going to get on my knees. Oh, God, give me the love of God. Give me the love of God. And God's going to say, first of all, get rid of that. And then let's get rid of that. And then I don't want it that bad. And that's where most Christians stop. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. Fullness of the Spirit must be realized in order to really begin to see this flow through you. Number two, agape love is required in both the first and second great commandments. Mark 12, and thou shalt love agape the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is another commandment greater than these. I'm convinced of this. Look up here, and please don't think I'm casting stones. But the honest truth is I lived a large portion of my Christian life having never obeyed the first and second commandment. You know why? Because I didn't know what it was to experience agape love in my life. There's Christians that here have never, I said, you've never obeyed the first great commandment and the second great commandment, not as it is written. You know why? Because you want to play around with this little phileo love. If there's something in it for me, then I'll invest in it. If I get some pleasure, I'll do it. If it's reciprocated, I'll be involved in it. But if not, then you know what? It's really about me, preacher. No, it's not. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about lost souls. That's what it's about. Number three, agape love is the quality of love that we are commanded to show to our enemies. Did you get that? Agape love is the quality of love that we are commanded to show to our enemies. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, agape your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. You can't obey that command. You can't show that to your enemies if you have not accessed agape love, if you have not experienced that in your life. Number four, agape love is the divine attribute shared among true believers that will identify true believers as genuine. Let me say it again. Agape love is the divine attribute shared among true believers that will identify true believers as genuine. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The one genuine, authentic attribute that the world is given as a way to identify the real thing, real Christianity, is agape love flowing between believers, flowing between believers. I pray for that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for that. Number five, agape love is the motivation behind our obedience to Christ. Brother Jerry, I don't understand why I have so much trouble just doing what I know to do that's right, keeping the commandments of Christ. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You're probably going to always struggle in this obedience area as long as you, all you have is a childlike phileo love for God. Until you have an agape love for God, then you're going to struggle in the keeping of his commandments. Number six, agape love activates the promise. Boy, I wish I could get people to hear this. Agape love activates the promise of Romans 8:28 for the believer. For we know that all things work together for good. That's not the whole verse. That's not the whole verse. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So many people that are laying accusations against God in their hearts, bitterness towards God's in their hearts. They want to claim Romans 8:28, but the honest truth is they have never given God the love that he deserves. They do not give to others the love that they deserve, and yet they want the benefits, the promises that are connected with that. Agape love shown to our neighbor. Number seven, I love this. Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. I think one of the most remarkable portions of scriptures, and it's backed up, it's actually repeated three different times. I'll just give you one. Romans 13:8. Agape love shown to our neighbor, shown to each other, fulfills the law. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's astounding. I don't know if you can comprehend that. I don't know if you've ever meditated on that. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. By the way, that's not phileo there. That's agape there. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Preacher, I've got all of this Old Testament and all of these commands and all of this Bible full of commands, and I don't even know, how do I keep that? How do I keep that? You learn agape love. You learn agape love. Gentlemen, if you love your wife, you're not going to commit adultery. If you love some other brother in Christ, you're not going to commit adultery with his wife. If you love somebody, you're not going to kill them. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. If you love somebody, you're not going to bear false witness. If you love somebody, you're not going to gossip about them. If you love somebody, you're not going to covet what they have. You're not going to be all torp with jealousy and envy all the time, because heaven forbid, somebody got blessed more than you did. You know, if you love people, then all of these other things become easy, because love worketh no ill to his neighbor. When I love you as God loved me, then you know what? I'm just going to want to do good towards you, and I'm going to be glad when good comes into your life, and I'm going to enjoy our time together, and I'm going to be blessed to be able to spend time with you. And come on, I'm not going to be sitting around trying to figure out how to rip you off or to hurt you. Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. You know what, folks? You say, well, I think too many of us are working so hard trying to figure out how to obey all the commands, when if we just would discover that God is telling the church here in 1 Corinthians, hey, I'm going to give you some things that will equip you so that you can use them in the church to edify the church, and you're going to use them outside the church to reach the world. I'm giving you the best of the spiritual gifts. I'm giving you a complete Bible, but I'm also giving you agape love. You can love like I love. Agape love shown to our neighbor fulfills the law. Number 8, agape love is the primary gift that a man is commanded to give his wife, and the primary gift that a woman is to bestow upon her husband and children. 3 different times in Ephesians chapter 5, men are commanded, love your wives. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's too many Christian men, please listen to what I'm going to say, and you have never, ever given your wife agape love. You've only given her phileo love. You've only given her phileo love. Shame. I said shame on you. Shame on you. You say, how do I know the difference? Well, we'll discover that next week. We'll give you a little checklist. You can just check yes or no. Because agape love acts a certain way, performs a certain way. See, phileo love is, well, I love you as long as you love me. What have you done for me lately? What do you do for me? How do you help me? What have you given me? And that's not the love of God. But ladies, let me say this. Some of you have only given your husbands phileo love. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't think there's a command. Yeah, there is. Titus 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Agape love. Listen, folks. Please hear me out. There ought never, ever, 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 not ever, ever to be a divorce in a church. Never. The one thing that ought to set the marriages of Christians completely apart from the marriages of this world is the free flow of agape love from a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband. It ought to be one of the biggest attractions that the world sees that draws them to Jesus Christ. I mean, they ought to just, listen, folks, I'm not for lifestyle evangelism, but you know the honest truth is, in the community, people ought to watch you and your wife walk around this community and interact out in public, and people say, I don't know where they go to church, but I'm going to follow them. If I have to wait outside their driveway, I'm going to follow them. Because they got something that I wish I could have. come on, antibiotics. Defend it all you want. Call it normal all you want. Say, well, it's just, no, it's not. No, it's not. Husbands, do you love your wives? Can that love be defined as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it? Is the attributes found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 the attributes that you display and share towards your wife in the interaction of each and every day? Number 9, agape love. Agape love is active. Agape love, I'm sorry, I had a typo here and it's throwing me off. Agape love is active in a purified church, a spirit-filled church, and should be shared without guile in all pureness and fervently among the brethren. Let me say it again. Agape love is active in a purified church, a spirit-filled church, and should be shared without guile in all pureness and fervently among the brethren. Listen very carefully to this verse. It's just amazing. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, that's good, isn't it? Wow. Seeing ye have purified your heart in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Somebody brought up your name to me and said, "Preacher, you're the pastor there, and here's the name of a church member. What is one of the very distinct attributes that you see in them?" I would love to be able to say they love the brethren with a pure heart fervently. They love the brethren with a pure heart fervently. See, folks, real agape love is supposed to be active, and it will be in a purified church. What happens? Why aren't we experiencing that type of love in most assemblies? Because there's unconfessed sin. Now, I shouldn't say this. There's a lot of folks confessing sin. They're just confessing everybody else's. I shouldn't say that there's not a confession of sin. There's constantly sin being confessed. It's just always somebody else's. Agape love is activated in a purified church. When folks stop playing the pride game, the tug-of-war pride game, well, they did, so I'm going to, and they did, and she said, and well, I'm going to sin because they did, and oh, baloney. Good night. Spirit-filled church should be shared without guile. No pretense. Get away from this, you know, lovey-dovey stuff in the church, and all, you know, walk up to everybody, and then when you get outside, you know, that's garbage. That's junk. Go up and befriend somebody so you can pump them for gossip information, hogwash, nonsense, wickedness. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is the question. Do you love the brethren with a pure heart fervently? Number 10, agape love should not be given to the world, but instead should be reserved for God and for others. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 next week. But if you don't understand how important agape love is and how without it you are totally incapable of living out the Christian life, then it's not going to mean much to you. But if you understand that without agape love being an active part and activated in your heart towards the lost and towards the brethren, if you understand that without that, you cannot carry out the work of God. You cannot carry out the work of God. Then next Wednesday night, you'll come and you'll sit on the edge of your seat and you'll examine your heart and you'll say, "God, I need to learn to love like you love me." And you sit there like a little child on the first front row on the first day of first grade and with a clean notebook and say, "Lord, if I have to relearn everything that I thought I knew about Christianity, let me relearn it. Because if I don't get this, I don't have anything." Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that you would use this message. And Lord, I pray, dear God, the truths were powerful. I know my voice was weak and I feel like I did not give good effort tonight, Lord. I did what I could. Lord, I pray that the truths, Lord, of your word would just develop within us a real, genuine hunger to discover what it is to experience the love of God. Help us to understand that you have it for us, and then help us to understand how we can give it to others. I pray, Lord, that you would revolutionize, Lord, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, help this to overcome so much of the carnality that is holding back so many. Use this, Lord, this hunger for the love of God. May it just be so powerful in our lives that we are willing to lay aside whatever we need to lay aside and redo whatever we need to have redone in our lives to discover it. Because, Lord, once we do, and once we see the supernatural impact of it in the lives of others, Lord, I don't think that we'll have to be told again the importance. Lord, bless the message tonight. May it be something we take home and mull over and think about and ponder. We pray in Jesus' name.